Thank you for joining us for live paranormal radio. From the paranormal to the unexplained, it all happens here.
It all happens here.
Looking to enhance your radio experience? Participate in our live video chat 24/7 with our live paranormal radio show host and other like-minded people. Live. Paranormal.com, the only interactive social chat room supported by Full Interaction Media. Stop by now and join the fun.
Stop by now and join the fun.
That's right. It's Haunted Playground right here on Live Paranormal on the Live Paranormal Radio Network. I'm your host, Sheena Metal. I'm a psychic medium. I'm an interfaith minister, and I'm a talk radio host of 26 years, and we're here every week gathering the brightest, loveliest, and most beautiful hearts, minds, and souls in the paranormal and spiritual community to talk about everything from what happens when we die to things that go bump in the night. It all gets discussed here on Haunted Playground, 6 o'clock every Wednesday on the Live Paranormal Radio Network. We're at liveparanormal.com. HauntedPlayground.com, and I'm at SheenaMetalSpiritual.com. My guest today is a wonderful friend and a fantastically talented live paranormal host in his own right, and he is also, I've been on his show many times. I've been video broadcast from his house. He's been a guest on my show many, many times. And I am so excited to have him back after not seeing him for a while because of this glorious pandemic and quarantine. My dear friend David Omen is here. Welcome, my friend. It's so great to have you here.
Hi, Sheena. How are you?
I'm great. It's good to hear your voice, my friend. It seemed like this time, 2 years ago, I was at your house every Monday night. Now I haven't seen you in over a year.
Yeah, the last time you were here was last January. My God. And we had a hell of a time with that that show when the lights went on by themselves and then they went off.
Right. So for people who don't know David, he's a wonderfully talented filmmaker. He's an author. He lives on the street where the Tate LaBianca murders happened. It's a very haunted, charged part of the Hollywood Hills. And his house is very active with spirits that belong in his home and also spirits that roam the neighborhood that come to visit him, including the spirit of Sharon Tate and other people involved in those murders. And, you know, you sort of just kind of, for people who are listening for the first time to this show now on its new network, you kind of just sort of fell into this property, right, not realizing what you were getting into when your family purchased this place.
Yeah, well, when we bought the lot some 22 years ago now, I didn't have any idea that the place was going to end up being haunted. But as it turns out, after 4 years of building the house and finishing it in 2002 and moving in and now living here for the past 19 years, it's quite active with paranormal visitors.
Yes, yes. And even though you've had a lot of people through there, funny, I was doing a guest spot on a show on Clubhouse, the new social media platform, and we were talking about how it's been my experience with so many places that the more paranormal teams that come through them, the less active they become. The spirits, I think, start to hide from the cameras and the people and the foot traffic. Your house, I think, is an exception to that in the sense, David, that I think your place has become more active the more living bodies have been there taking interest in what's going on there.
Yeah, I'd have to agree with you. I have not seen a real diminish in the activity. I've seen diminishing effect of the negative side effects to a lot of people. But other than that, I'd say the place is pretty much still on its toes as far as activity. And that also has to do with the fact that no one died here. But the fact that the house itself has an elevated EMF level that causes that type of dynamic that we have many, 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 many spirits that come and visit and come through the house. And I know that sounds a lot of people saying, oh, yeah, sure that happens. I'm just telling you that in my experiences, even when people are coming here to visit, stuff happens, and we're not exactly on our, as we say, adventurous you know, pursuits of searching for spirits. It just happens. And people are like, well, I just heard something. It's like, yeah, what did you hear? And then it's like, well, I heard this. And then we're able to investigate and replay the videotape of the cameras throughout the house. And inexplicably, in an inadvertent fashion, we've captured voices and things happening that are inexplicable and are not connected to anything logical or rational or natural in explanation.
Absolutely. And I can tell you firsthand, I have been there. I see it. Of course, I've known you for longer than we've been doing broadcasts there. You've been a radio guest
right.
of mine for almost 10 years. So I know you. I know you as a person. I know you're an honest person and you tell the truth. When I went up to go to your house just to have fun and play with the dogs and maybe do a little live broadcast, wow, a lot of stuff happened that I was not expecting to happen in real time there. I was expecting, as a psychic, as you gave me a tour through your home, to feel different things in different rooms and have different spirits talk to me. I was not expecting us to have all of the kind of poltergeisty lights going on and off, things flashing, things moving, a pen flying repeatedly off the table. That kind of stuff I was not expecting to happen the minute we sat down in front of the cameras.
Right. That just, it happens. I have no control over it, and I don't have any idea when that's going to happen, but it just happens, as is the case here at the house. Stuff, I just say it that you know what happens, but it happens. It's stuff just occurs, and it's random. It's not like, you know, you're expecting it to happen. It just decides to occur. It occurs. And that's really about
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
My,
and you're,
you know,
you're so kind of unflapped by it. And I'm flapped by, I mean, you basically live in a house that's rigged with cameras, right? Because
yeah.
you want to be able to go back and check the paranormal phenomena that happens. So you're wandering around your own house and you're completely rigged up with cameras, which that alone would make me nervous, but you're completely unflapped by it. And then things are happening, you know, on an hourly basis in your house. And you just kind of take it all in stride. And I have to tell you, as a kid growing up in a very active house, that in a lot of ways really traumatized me. I mean, it made me who I am in this community and the spiritual community, but it also in a way, you know, I got some PTSD. The fact that you're so positive about it, so positive about the spirits that come, and so kind of, like I said, unflapped by the kind of creepy things that happened in that home, to me, that's so awesome, and it's a testament to really your character.
Well, thank you. I just don't have the time or the interest in being, how should I say, hyper-dramatic about stuff when it happens. It's no consequence. It doesn't serve anybody in any way, shape, or form to behave in such a way. So I just go, okay, fine, that happened, great. All right, great, terrific. It doesn't really faze me because it's not going to. It doesn't really have the effect or bothersomeness that a lot of people would say, oh, my God, that's scaring the crap out of me. It's like, well, it doesn't scare me. I don't know what else to say. It's of no consequence. It just doesn't, I don't know what to say. It just doesn't have the effect on me as a lot of people, as it does on a lot of people. I just don't really mind it, so to speak.
Yeah, you're pretty mellow and pretty chill about that, and I really admire that. Now,
I think what has to do with this, it has to go to the fact that we're all going to pass away at some point. To have this unnatural fear of spirits or people that have passed away before us that are, you know, visiting us doesn't make a lot of sense to me personally. That's how I look at it as.
Right. I agree. And unlike some of the places I've been and unlike the house I grew up in, you have a really good relationship with almost all of the things that move through that house. And I think because you are accepting and engaging and non-judgmental about it, they work very much in tandem and in harmony with you instead of working against you. And I think that's a very beautiful thing.
Yeah, I guess you could say that. I haven't thought about it like that, but that does, you know, pretty much make sense.
Yeah, I mean, if you were always in a corner crying or you were screaming at it all the time, you know what I mean? You might find that there was a much different reaction if that was happening, you know, and I think the fact that you acknowledge their presence, right, so they're not doing things to get your attention, but at the same time you're being very lovely to them about it, I think that sort of makes all the difference in the way they react. And I always talk to folks that say, oh, a house is so haunted, or I went to this, you know, this event in this haunted place, and I got my eyeball scratched and something kicked me down the stairs. And I always say, well, what were you doing right before that happened? Were you telling it you were going to kick its ass and calling it a piece of crap? Because, you know, if you scream at spirits, oftentimes they will become very reactive in the same way that if you scream at people, right, they're going to become very reactive.
Right. If you have a disrespectful tone in your voice, you can expect to get something bad happen to you. I think that's the easiest way to surmise what's going on in those situations. Lack of respect will, as we say, incur a response of lack of respect.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So starting kind of with the foundations of where you live, how
yes.
much do you think, because when I was there, I felt a lot of what goes on there is related to the actual area where your home is. When you start to drive up your street, I feel spirit stuff in my solar plexus chakra. I literally feel like I'm kind of being punched in the gut when the EMS is high. And when I turn to go up your very steep drive, I feel the energy shift. And the higher up I get to your street, to where you live, the higher that energy gets. And I really believe that a lot of what goes on in your home is something that's coming up from the ground. Do you believe that?
Well, Dr. Barry Taft had suggested that it's something to do with the naturally occurring electromagnetic field issue that's in the earth here, and he said that that's possibly what's causing the problem. So that was his theory, was that there's a pre-existing electromagnetic anomaly in the earth here, and that it radiates up through the mantle of the crust of the earth, and in this house it's amplified because of the design with a lot of steel I-beams in the framing and the structure that was put in by the structural engineer. So that's possibly what it is. But you're not the only person that's said to me, my God, there feels like a strong magnetic field in this area. And it's like, yeah, that's, I just say it's par for the course, but that's pretty much what a lot of people have denoted to me as far as being up here at the house. They've mentioned that it's very, very, you know, it affects them in a tremendous fashion, like you were saying. You're feeling the pain in the solar plexus. A lot of people also respond with equilibrium issues, headaches, nausea, stuff of that. So, yes, that's possibly what's happening. I myself, I personally don't get affected by it, so it's not of any concern to me myself.
Yeah, and I think it's true to a lesser degree. I mean, you and I both grew up in L.A., in L.A. proper, I mean, in L.A. metro. And, I mean, I think all of that, what you're saying, can be said about the Hollywood Hills in varying degrees, right? There's something a little charged and magnetically special about the Hollywood Hills.
Yes.
But the particular part where you are is one of the most charged places. There's a couple of places, I think, in Laurel Canyon that are also extremely charged like that. And interestingly enough, you being so close to the Tate-LaBianca murder site, one of the most charged places I also think is where the Wonderland murders happened in Laurel Canyon. I have a friend who lives very, very close to that. And when you're going up Wonderland, there is a place where you hit a certain elevation and you start to feel that funny feeling in your gut again.
Right.
And there you go. So, I mean, I think because of the rock, right, the limestone, what the mountains of the hills are made of, the mixture of the hills and the valleys, and then, of course, the whole history, which we'll talk about next, of who's been on that property and in the Hollywood Hills in general. I mean, I think it all starts with, like what Dr. Taft said, and I've interviewed Dr. Barry Taft. I have a lot of respect for him. What literally is coming up out of the ground is the beginning of paranormal activity. I grew up in Huntington Beach, which half of Huntington Beach is actually below sea level, including the part I grew up in. And we know that water is a spiritual conduit, right? So Huntington Beach can be a very haunted place. And I remember a lot of folks talking to my mom, because my mom was also a psychic medium. I remember folks in high school trying to tell my mom that they'd pull her aside during parties and I don't tell anybody. It was like this big secret. And I thought, oh, my God, what happened to my friend? Did he get somebody pregnant? Like, does he have cancer? And then she would tell me, well, you know, he'll tell you when he's ready. I can't tell you. And it almost always turned out to be I saw a ghost at the end of my bed or I saw something in the backyard. So I think there is something about certain areas of Southern California, right? The ocean, the mountains, and even though the Hollywood Hills, we call them hills, they're basically mountainy, right? They're the same kind of stuff mountains are made of.
Right.
And I think that's a lot of it. I also think there's not a lot of human traffic where you live, right? It's not like you live in the middle of West Hollywood and tens of thousands of people are moving through that area all the time.
No, there's not a lot of foot traffic up here now, not really.
So there aren't as many people to chase the energy away or to, as I think sometimes, David, people take away the natural energy of a place and they kind of push their human energy on it. So when you find a place where, and a lot of the places in the Hollywood Hills are a little more remote, like where you live is very remote. It takes a while to get there and you kind of go through a place where you're not passing a lot of houses to get there. And I think that has something to do with it too. So then,
I was going to say I haven't really thought about it in those terms, but you do have a point there with that. That's very true for the area.
Yeah, it's kind of quiet, and you have this beautiful view. But I mean, your house is literally built on the edge of the mountain, on the edge of the hill, right? I mean, you look out your back patio, which you have like one on every level, which is stupendous. And you can see, you know, all the way to downtown. I mean, you can see everywhere. You've got a sheer drop right there, and there's nothing but hill there.
Right. Yeah, it's pretty much just a hillside.
It's amazing. It's an amazing place. Everybody at some point should see where you live because it's an amazing place. And I can't wait to come back now that the quarantine is almost over and do some more videos with you. So let's talk about Native American stuff because – you had a very famous psychic talk to you about Native American energy in there, and I absolutely felt that when I went.
You're talking about Dr. Taff. Are you talking about Lisa Williams was here? Lisa Williams was here.
Lisa,
and she picked up the energy of the Native Americans in the area. And then it turned out to be 100% on the money true. I was like, oh, what? You're kidding me. That actually panned out to be accurate and true, and I was like, okay, all right, it's just one of those things that you just don't believe because we're in the middle of Southern California, and it shouldn't be. You just don't, you don't think of that as, oh, yeah, that's going to happen here. We're going to have Native American energy. You know, there's Native American. What the hell are you talking about Native Americans? Are you serious? So sure enough, what she said was pretty much true and accurate, and that's the story about the area. And since she was here, I was like, you kids, what? I was like, no, you can't be serious. Because, yes, she's serious. There's Native American energy here. And it turns out that there's,
is, and you can, when you look out your patio at night, and I haven't been to your place during the day, but I'm sure it's not much different. You feel the Native American energy coming up out of the hill. And I can feel the spirit sort of rising up. It's very interesting. It's hugely Native charged. And you have a room in your house, right, where you can absolutely feel it. And is it okay to talk about that room? Is that all right?
I'm sure. Go right ahead. Talk all you like about it.
Okay, so David has a room in his house, and it's on the bottom level, right?
Yes.
And it's intense because it's like his house is – every level is developed, right? There's not in essence, a basement or an attic. It's all completely developed. And you're down there, and there's this beautiful kind of recreational room, and there's a bedroom, and then there's a bathroom, and then you turn the corner, and there's a room, and it's basically just filled with dirt.
Well,
and
it's just the side of the hill is what it
most,
is.
Right. It's literally the side of the hill that the house was cut into in a room. And it's – don't you call it the dirt room?
Well, I call it the earthen wall room because what it is, it's the undeveloped part of the hillside, which we haven't developed because it's just because my father at the time, when we were building the house, wanted to turn it into a kitchenette and turn the whole third level into an apartment, at which point I said no. And he goes, then fine, we're going to leave it unaffected. And I was like, well, fine. If you think you're going to be hurting me by doing that, go right ahead. And that's how it ended up staying like that. And as a result, it was, you know, it's been quite a point of contention for people, because when they go down there, stuff happens, and they're like, oh, my God, this happened, that happened. It's like, yeah, that's normal. And I'm like, yeah, it's not a big deal. What can I say?
No, and if...
No, I was going to say, nothing I can say about it. It is what it is. To me, it's not a big deal. But to everybody else that goes to visit, it's a big deal because stuff happens down there.
Absolutely. And if you are a person with spiritual gifts like mine and you visit David's house, go and sit in that room by yourself if you dare, and just spend some time there, because spirits will literally talk to you. I mean, they will start having conversations with you. I think something about David, literally the raw earth being there, makes it, because all the things we were talking about the earth and the limestone, and then that's all in that room. That is literally a piece of the hill in that room. And who knows who's buried in that hill over the many, many years and generations. And you can, the spirits will talk to you there. And it's quite magic. And it's very charged in that room, but eerily peaceful.
Yeah, there's nothing, I've never felt anything of any threatening nature in there in the time that I've lived here, so I can only say from my experiences and what others have told me, a few people have had strange stuff happen to them, but in general, no, nobody's had any real problems that I know of.
Yeah, I don't mind all the activity. I only get off-put when activity is very negative. I expect always to feel some activity because of who I am. In a place that's very charged like yours, I expect to feel a lot of activity. But as long as everybody's communicating with me and it's positive, I don't mind it being like Grand Central Station, as long as there's not something nasty in there making me feel like I can't breathe. And there really isn't in that room. No, don't get me wrong. There are some spirits that are very of the earth, not only Native American, but earth spirits that are very attached to the land that your house is built on. And I wouldn't screw with them. I wouldn't mess with them. Because then you might see some nastiness, but they are certainly there to protect the nature. They are not there to be antagonistic unless you're antagonizing them. But there are a couple in that room that speak to you in a very firm tone, because they very much want to let you know the sacred nature of this area and how they don't want to be messed with or driven out. And I think you're actually having a lot more positive experience in that home as opposed to negative, David, because you allow that room to be what it is.
Yeah, I'd have to agree with you. I don't censor it, and I've never had a problem in the house in the time that I've lived here. So I've had visitors that have had problems here. I think you've heard of one of them, Zach Baggins, but you know, I mean, outside of Tool Boy, I mean, nobody's really told me they're having any issues with the house here as far as the paranormal activity is concerned. So I'm really not, too bothered or concerned about it myself. I think that it's...
Well, what I said about if you're a sensitive person and you'll sit in that room if you dare, I think that if you are a person who has sensitivity, like, for instance, I have a friend who is very noise sensitive. So if she goes to Speedway, racetrack, airport, theme park, she has to wear noise-canceling stuff on her ears because the noises make her crazy. So with me, I'm sensitive energetically, right? So I feel energies. If you're energetic and you go to David's house, it's like going to a theme park. There's a lot there, and you're going to hear and feel a lot of stuff, and that makes your actual physical body feel different. I think the problem is with people saying negative, 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 David, is that sometimes people associate the way activity makes you feel different with something negative. If you feel a little change in your solar plexus chakra, or you feel a little humming in your third eye chakra, in your head, you feel a little funny in your heart, you immediately think something's trying to attack you. You start screaming demon, and then everything just gets really crazy from there. I think if you just start to feel a little funky in a place that's very charged, you know, the first time I went there, right, you gave me the tour. And the first half hour or so I was there was me just acclimating to the area. And I told you, before we did the first broadcast, let me come in and walk through your place and just get used to everybody first.
Right.
I think it's very important that you do that, because I think even if you don't think of yourself as sensitive, a lot of people are and don't know it. And
true.
You're going to feel certain things, and you just have to get used to it. Like if you go skiing and you're at a high altitude and you suddenly feel like you can't breathe as well at that altitude, that's not a demon or someone trying to kill you. It's just that the energy there is different and you have to get used to it.
Right, exactly. And I think that's, you know, like I said, I don't jump to a drama-filled conclusion about the activity or the occurrences. I first try to dismiss it, go through all the videos and watch through the different cameras in the house. And if I'm unable to figure it out by natural, you know, a normal rational explanation, you know, somebody knocked something over, it was an animal or something like that, it was a neighbor's voice, then it becomes a question of, oh, wow, what did I just capture then? And it doesn't scare me because, as I said before, we're all going to die at some point, so to be afraid of that which we all are destined to be, which is dead, and that those that
right.
have passed before us, to be concerned about that they're coming to visit us. I'm sorry, let's just cut to the chase. Spirits are not here to hurt us. I'm sorry that people have a bad perception or reaction, but it's kind of like an overreaction to something and inexplicably, as I say, laying it on the negative side instead of just saying, oh, I'm being curious, what was that? And just dealing with the circumstances, everybody goes to a negative or a reactionary or a religiosity-based response, which is it's a devil, it's a demon. And I'm like,
right.
Why? What? And most things that we decry as poltergeist activity are nothing of the sort. A real true poltergeist is more than just knocking a glass of wine over. A poltergeist is an event that is cataclysmically just insane by comparison to these one-off incidences. Oh, something got knocked over. It's a poltergeist. No, a poltergeist is a super rebellious, active, noisy ghost. It's not a one-off.
Right.
Oh, a cabinet door opened. No, the light switch went on. Light went on. No, it's more like a tornado of activity, a whirlwind of activity going on. In more than one issue, it's more than one thing happening. It's like the door slamming and shut, opening and closing multiple times. There's a lot more energy charge to it. We have diluted the value of what a true poltergeist incident is by saying things, oh, it's a poltergeist. He knocked an item went flying across, like a penny went flying across the room. A poltergeist action would really be something on the lines of the first movie, Poltergeist, by Steven Spielberg, where they went in Carol Ann's room and all of the objects in the room were like in a whirlwind, spinning around in just such
yeah.
a way that you go, oh, my God, there's no question about it. That's a poltergeist. Or something hugely dramatic, like stacking six chairs on the dining room table in a way that you would just say, okay, there's bigger than just letting us know they're here. That's a huge sign because it required so much energy to manifest that type of an output of formation of objects. You go, okay, that's definitely something they're trying to communicate to us. Otherwise, the incidental incidents that take place here, the little innocuous incidents that have taken place here, the figurines getting knocked over, the figurine being thrown at one of the people that was here, the lights going on, the voices, that's not poltergeist. That's just spirits saying, hey, we're here, hello. You're not listening to the preliminary actions that we're making to communicate with you because you're basically, how should we say, most humans are dismissive of innocuous incidents, meaning, okay, the pen was knocked over the table. Well, I might have done that with my elbow. We dismiss it. But it could have been a paranormal incident. But by the time we finally realize the occurrence of paranormal activity is in front of us, it could be the sixth or seventh or eighth bit of evidence that has been provided to us, and we've dismissed the first seven. And it's almost like going up a staircase. Each time you ignore it on level one, it has to go to level two to get your attention. You've ignored it at level two, so it's going to go to level three, and you're still ignoring it till it gets to level seven, and it's like, okay, that I cannot dismiss. And it's only that large of an occurrence because you've been dismissing the first seven different incidents as nothing more than happenstance. And meantime, they were all related to the spirits trying to communicate with you, but because you were so befuddled or so dismissive of the incidents that have been happening so far, they felt they had no other choice but to ramp it up to the next step and the next step till you finally got the picture. Hell, we're here. Don't you get it? And that's what I've seen in a lot of places. I've asked people, say, yeah, this happened and that happened. I said, so what? He goes, oh, we didn't think of it as anything. It's like, yeah, that's why you have shit happening now that's more than crazy, because you've been dismissing all the other times that they've been trying to communicate. And it, to a spirit that's trying to get your attention, it's on a mission to get your attention. I'm not saying that it's
absolutely
a bad thing or a good thing.
Yes.
It's just trying to get your attention. And because we dismiss, we then go, oh, my God, it's a poltergeist. And it's like, no, you missed the first seven, you know, points of contact that we've, you know, trying to interact with you, and you've dismissed them. So we had to go to this place.
Yeah, absolutely. That's why I describe the things that happened with us that night as poltergeisty, because I want people to understand that it's the difference in actually things moving around and lights coming on and off compared to just me hearing voices or me feeling something. A full-blown poltergeist is very different in the same way that dark energy is very different from demonic energy. I mean, there are people that have dark energy. There are people that you're around them and you're like, oh, God, I get so depressed and feel awful just being around this person.
Right.
But when people say to me, oh, there's a house you've been to? Does it have a demon? I always say, first of all, why in the world would you want that? Why would you want to find a demon? Like, why would you want that? I don't understand that at all. That's what we all should be hoping we never see or encounter in our entire life. That shouldn't be something we're sitting around
hoping
for.
I don't play with that storyline. I'm very dismissive, unfortunately, of that.
Yeah, that's right, because you're all about nothing negative in the universe, huh?
I don't think that there are such things as demons that are hearkening to take our souls as religious, as we've been taught
religiously speaking.
I don't find into that. I'm sorry, you can't sell your soul to the devil. You know, there's pieces of you-know-what excrement that are people that are out there. What do you want? That's what we call dark. When somebody's, you know, it's like an Idi Amin Dada, and, you know, Pol Pot and people like that, yes, there's something called evil, but that's incarnated in human beings and the evil that men will do, not women or men sexist, but men as human beings will do. You know, that's, you know, believe me, there have been plenty of women in history that have done tragic, you know, done horrible things, like Catherine the Great, who, what was it, 100-some-plus virgins, female virgins she had brought into her in her castle, and she would drain them of their blood and would take ritualistic blood baths in virgin's blood, because she thought it would be the fountain of youth to keep her forever young. I mean,
who
needs demons when you have
with
people?
Friends like
people
that, who
plenty.
Needs demons?
Exactly. That's why I said, you know, devils, like, yeah, people can be a devil. So,
have you ever had someone in the house, in your house, David, that you felt had negativity in them, and then because of that, am I opening up a can of worms right now? Well, you don't have to name names, but because you just say yes or no. But because of their negativity, it kicked up some stuff in the house where the spirits were kind of like, "Yeah, go screw yourself. We want nothing. Now you're going to get it."
Yeah, absolutely. There was a person that was here, as a matter of fact, with a major TV show that came here and had a lot of problems, and he kept later on saying that it was blaming it on me, and wrote in his book that I'm possessed and I'm the reason why. It's like, funny, you know, of all the 1,000 people that have been here over 19 years to visit the house, and, you know, layperson and TV show person and, you know, famous people as well. He was the only one that had such a, you know, SH time of it.
Yeah.
You know, SHT time of it that, you know, it's a joke. And he now professes that he's constantly getting possessed on all of his TV shows to this day. And I find it sad and amusing, but the fact of the matter is I am nor am I possessed, nor am I in any way controlling the paranormal activity that occurs at the house, because I'm alive. I'm a human effing being. And until such time as I've crossed over, and probably even at that point, I will have no control over other spirits and what they do and what they don't do. So, in essence, what he professed and, you know, claimed that I could possibly have these such powers is false and impossible. I don't know of anybody that could have such ability to tell the spirits to do what they want to do on command. It just, to me, it doesn't work like that. And I, like I said, after 19 years of living here, I've found no problems in being here and residing here. I found it to be absolutely, you know, personally a great location. I love it. I have no problems with the spirits. And I treat the spirits like unseen house guests. And I respect them, but I also expect from them not to jack up my electric bills and do stuff like they did once. But, you know, I called them out on it. And after that, it was done and over with. And I haven't had any problems since. So
how did that, how did telling about that? I don't think you've ever told me about that on the air. Tell me about that. How did that happen?
Well, one day,
the
electric bill was probably about 9-10 years ago, possibly. Now, I got an electric bill that was 4 times the normal amount. It was like $750. And I basically thought about the past 2 months that was during that time that the bill was being accrued. And I said, wait a second. I remember that one time I was in the kitchen and the bar receptacle, which was attached to the telephone, the main cordless telephone, was, I heard a funny sound from it, and it had popped. And later on I found out that the resistor in the wall switch was popped, and it had turned off my, the telephone. So I had also realized that during the middle of the night a few times, the television had been turned on in different parts of the house. The lights were on in different parts of the house, and I started to realize that I hadn't done anything excessive during those 2 months. And I totally figured that it must be the spirits that were doing it. So I took umbrage with it, and I went down to the second floor to the laundry room, and I basically called the spirits out, and I said, we got a problem here. I said, you guys cannot do this. I said, this electric bill is 3.5 times the normal bill, and I cannot afford this. I said, and if you continue this, we're going to have real serious issues here. And I said, such serious issues that I'm going to find myself having to hire and bring in some great paranormal experts to come here and to basically shut you out and shut you down. I said, I can't afford this. I said, I'm the only one here wearing pants, and in the back of those pants is a back pocket, and in that back pocket is a wallet. And since I'm the only one that's going to have to fork out the money to pay for this electric bill, this will never happen again. And in a nutshell, they listened. And, you know, I wasn't trying to be, you know, bullshitty about it, but it was like, you know, saying spirits, I said, you know, I don't think that there's a point of contention here as much as we got to get along. I said, I can't afford this. I said, and I wasn't, I did say this. I said, I'll get the world's greatest psychics and poltergeists. Exorcists to banish you to the, you know, to the netherworld. I didn't believe it then. I don't believe it now. But I said it with enough conviction and enough passion that I think that it sunk into their heads that, you know, he means business and he's not BSing us around here. And therefore,
yeah.
I got their attention and they basically said, okay, cool, we got it. And that's how it's been since then. It's been fine. It's the living that I have a problem with, that I've been staying here for the past 10 months. But that's about to end shortly. But, you know, that's another story for another time, like another lifetime. But
Well, that's it. If you have a living person staying there
yes.
or even just visiting there, how do they react to the energy when they're new there?
Well, my friends have been staying here for the past 10 months now, and they've had stuff happen, but yeah, let's just say there's not much that they can do about it, and it's just, you know, there's just, as I've told them, it's like, that's the way it is. You deal with it, live with it, and, you know, talk to them, and don't take any guff from them, and that's how it's been so far. Just, I'd say fine for them, but fine. So far,
yeah.
So good.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's like the same thing as living in a, you know, I know that when you, when I've left sometimes and we've been talking as you've been walking your dogs, and your dogs are big, beautiful dogs, but sometimes, right, when you're walking, you see coyotes, you see mountain lions, all kinds of things up there. It's the same thing. You have to set the boundaries. Let the coyote and the mountain lion, you don't leave your front door open so they can just come wandering in. And I think
yeah,
it's the same thing when you live with spirits. You have to set some boundaries.
It's respect. It's a matter of knowing your not your, there's no enemy, but knowing your compatriot, so to speak, and knowing who your neighbor is, and not having fear of it. And that's how it's been. I haven't had any fear of the paranormal activity here, because what are they going to do? And what can I do to effectuate them? In a nutshell, nothing and nothing on both sides of the coin.
Right.
Spirits, you know,
right,
aren't looking for a human body to jump in. They've gotten out of their human body, and they're not looking to return to one. And I know that, and they know that, and I know that they know that I can't do anything to make them do anything, you know, outside of what they want to do. So, you know, I just basically just let it go. I don't really worry
yeah.
about it. It doesn't bother me. I take it with a grain of salt. If there's a spirit, okay, there's a spirit. Okay, so what?
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't bother me.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I agree. What would you like to have happen in the house that hasn't happened there as far as having people in to do events or whatnot? What do you, because you've done so many events and so many cool things, had so many great people in there. What would you like to happen that hasn't happened yet?
I'd like to get a TV docuseries, a three-part docuseries done about the house using a lot of the footage that I've captured in this house over the past 19 years, and to set the record straight as far as the story of the house is concerned, since the house has been on 7 U.S. reality paranormal TV shows, 2 in the U.K., and in my estimation, none of them have gotten the story right. And it's kind of, to me, sad, because I watch these shows and I get questions about this and that, this episode or that episode, and I have to basically, how should I say, straighten out the misinformation or the, in some cases, the embellishments, in some cases, just the facts about the history and about the story about the house and the Native Americans, because there have been so many people that have done their versions, and it's been highly dramatic and highly embellished in some cases, where the truth has been
sure.
misplaced, let's put it that way.
Yeah, I think that happens. You know, it's funny because one of my dear friends is Andrea Perrin, who grew up in the house the first Conjuring film was made on. And she says the same thing. She says that so many things in the Conjuring movie, right, were embellished for the movie, but the house was scary enough. The story was had enough spirit activity in it. You didn't really have to make something out of it that wasn't there. And I kind of always think about that with your house, too. There's enough going on in your house. You don't need to make something going on that's not happening.
Exactly. And that's why I said, you know, I want to do something, because the Conjuring House story as well, I'm not even going to touch that with a 10-foot pole. You know, I don't have a lot of respect for the Warrens. I didn't have it when they were alive, and I certainly don't have any more since they've died. But like I said, the fact that I've got so much footage and so many more interesting stories that I put in the book, Ghost of Cielo Drive, about the house and the hauntings, that I thought that would make a great docuseries, a three-part doc about the activity, because
Absolutely.
It's more interesting than everything that's been,
right.
that's been told about this place. And a lot of the stuff that's been, the misinformation isn't accurate, and it makes me look and go, wow. Wow, 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 that's not right. That's just not right. And it's bothersome to me that it actually is done in such a way that people are, you know, led to believe in a conclusion that's not accurate about the house and the haunting. So that's what I think would be something
right.
I'd like to see get done, and I'd love to have it done sooner than later so that people can go, oh, there he is, and it's his, you know, he's telling his story. It's like, yeah, that's the real story. Here's some of the video footage. Here's the real occurrences. These are the real people. Interview the people here at the house on location. Do the reenactments, with the few that there are here on location, so that there's not a lot of questions of saying, wait, why does the house in the reenactment not look anything like, because it's not the same house. That's why. It's not, you know, that's just a lot of stupid stuff that I've been privy to that has made me go, oh, my God, that's not accurate. That's not true. That's, you know, and like I said, getting some of the famous people that have been here, that have had the experiences here, interview them here at the house and not have somebody have to, you know, do a real traditional interview where somebody talks to them and asks them a question, and it's not regurgitating the question in your answer, just answering the question, so to speak. So
right, exactly.
I think it'd be interesting.
No, right. I agree with you 100%. And I think that that the interesting thing about your book, and I love your book, is that it's not just ghost stories. It's also a lot of the history of the area, right? It's the history of the people that lived in that neighborhood, some of whom spirits wander through your place.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that was the whole point, was to flesh it out, to give the history of the area, so it wasn't just stories. It really isn't even stories. They're just incidents that each one has its date, the time, and the bare bones situation of what took place without any extra hyperbole or religiosity thrown in. And I just didn't feel like telling, you know, making a fairy tale. I wanted it just to be, as Joe Friday used to say on Dragnet, just the facts, ma'am, just the facts. And that's it. It's pretty much cut right to the bone. And, you know, there are incidental stories about some people like Lindsay Lohan who visited here. That's, you know, it was an incident and a half, which I still find so amusing. 10 years later, I still can laugh the heck out of it because it was funny. But, I mean, you know, and then we have the serious interview with an investigation from 2004 that literally was done right from the videotapes. I transcribed what took place in the videos and basically put it into the book. And, if, like I said, that investigation from 2004, which was done 3 months before the airing of Ghost Hunters, the first television show that was ever on the paranormal on TV, that's the real interesting investigation, because no one was doing ghost hunting at those days. It was pretty
much,
small-time thing. And that's what's so interesting. And that incident, like I said, those three psychics that came through and their experience here was just, to me, phenomenal. I think it was just one of the greatest things that I've ever had happen here at the house, and I'm so glad I got that on tape. And that would be part of the docuseries and showing the footage of that. I think that's great, you know, for an audience to enjoy.
Well, that was kind of an interesting time, right? I remember seeing on the Travel Channel the British show Most Haunted. I remember my ex-boyfriend used to call it the Glowy Green Eyes Show because of everybody in the night vision cameras.
Yeah.
And you'd never seen anything like that before. And then Ghost Hunters became sort of the American version of that.
Right.
That was a very interesting time in the paranormal community because it hadn't quite gone Hollywood yet, right? People
right.
were very much about trying to find the truth behind what was going on in paranormal locations. It had not become sort of a big money adventure yet. And it was a very different time in the community. What was different for you when the Ghost Hunters crew came out, being the first ones to really come to your place and do that for television, as opposed to what's happened since then with paranormal crews wanting to come out for television?
Well, that was back in 2006 they came out. But when we did the first investigation here on the anniversary, it was 3 weeks after the anniversary. We did the first one on the 35th anniversary in 2004. 3 weeks later, we brought in three psychics separate from one another to do their investigation. And then Ghost Hunters came out. I liked them. I thought they were great. They seemed, you know, pretty professional about it. They weren't all about the hype and the drama. They were really into investigating, and they had a hell of a time here. I remember when we shot the episode that they came and they asked me, it's like, hey, is your ice maker broken? I said, what are you talking about? I said, the ice maker doesn't even, I took the gosh darn mechanism out because it was broken. I said, it's been out for about 8 months now. I said, I used the space where the ice machine was to basically just to have it there for more storage space in the freezer. And they were like, well, we had this strange sound happen during the investigation. We thought it was the ice maker. I said, I opened up the freezer, and I showed them the freezer. And they go, oh, yeah, there's definitely no – it's like, nope, it's not. I said, nope, it's not. So, I mean, I thought they were pretty good. Again, this is back in 2006 that they were here. And it was a novel experience, to say the least, to have them come to the house to investigate and be the first TV show that actually did an investigation here. I thought it was pretty fun. I was pretty impressed by what they had. And again, this is, 2006? This is 15 years ago now. You know, and they didn't have, they had all the stuff as the wired equipment and all the cameras and stuff was all wired. And, it was an experience. I'll never forget. It was an experience and a half to have them here.
It's interesting how the community has changed as,
yeah,
quote unquote, ghost hunting has become kind of this very sort of she thing to do now, and it's changed the way people feel about haunted locations. It's changed a lot of stuff, and in some ways for the better, because there's more exposure now for people living in paranormal. You know, when I was growing up in the 70s, David, living in a very active negative haunted house, there was nobody my family could even talk to. So I'm so thankful to shows like Ghost Hunters for opening up the floodgates that now people that live in homes can understand what's going on and get help. And I got a lot of closure and help from watching shows like that. But then I guess the bad thing is that now that it's become this big commodity, and wherever there's money, right? What is it? Power corrupts, and absolute power corrupts, absolutely. As soon as somebody can get money or fame or something from it, then suddenly it becomes, you know, kind of an ugly thing. And
yeah.
I think we see both sides of that now with it becoming such a big deal.
A commodity, yeah. I'd have to agree with you. I think it's turned into for lack of better words, it's a racket. It's a business. It's fully turned into a business. There's no other way to say it than to think about it. It's turned into a business, and that's how it
will
stay. You know, like I said, with the Queen Mary, you can go to the Queen Mary, and, oh, yeah, Queen Mary, that's terrific, and Queen Mary. Now it's, you know, it's, I'm sorry, it's like I said, it's just become such a business. It's just kind of like when I was doing it here up until a couple of years ago, I was having people just come and visit for free, and then it was like, all right, you want to do investigations here? All right, like the shows, then we're going to have to start talking some money because I have to do catering and I have to get insurance, and it just became a whole, you know, it became a business, and I was like, all right, fine, I'm not doing this. You know, we had to bring in the psychic, and the psychic costs money, and everything, again, costs money. So at a certain point, it was like, do I really want to continue doing this? And I said, you know, saying no. I said, enough is enough. I don't want to keep doing this. And that's what happened. I basically quit and I stopped. I just said, it's enough.
Yeah.
And
well,
I haven't
COVID
been doing
hit, right?
it since.
So it's given you some time to be in your home without anybody being in there. And I mean, your home was like a very active place with spirits and humans where people were always in there. What has it been like for you to be in the home, you know, basically with just some friends and yourself for the last year and some?
Same as before. I wasn't much going out before COVID, but I just, you know, was a homebody. But, I mean, it COVID hits, like, so what is that supposed to mean to me? I mean, I used to say to my friends, so am I supposed to be affected in some way, shape, or form? Because I don't seem to feel it. Honestly, it's, you know, as far as the activity is concerned, it's been less because I've had fewer people visiting. And as a result, the spirits are kind of like, well, you know us, we know you. We're not going to sit there and have a party with you because we know you and there's just no point. And I'm not too bothered by them not being so active with me personally, but I've noticed that when I do have guests come over that the spirits are a little bit more active and a little bit more like, you know, like as you say, flattered to have people visiting. And I have noticed that.
Oh, good.
But other than, you know, so I don't, otherwise it's like, it's, you know, it's been no big deal to me at all whatsoever. Personally, you know, it hasn't affected me personally in a great way, shape, or form. Except for the fact that there's no productions and there's a lot of businesses not happening as far as TV is concerned, so I can't go about trying to get somebody to say, let's do that show about your house now. That's in the only way it's been an impingement upon me personally.
Right, exactly. Yeah, that has been hard. Absolutely. Yes. Are you done, do you think, with doing events there pretty much?
Yeah. I'd have to suspect I'm pretty much done with events here at the house. I know some people have asked me if I'm going to and planning on doing it. It's like, I don't think so. I just don't see it.
Yeah. It's a lot. And it's a lot to have all those people traipsing through your house.
Yep.
You know?
It's a lot.
Still, do you find that when you don't have people there, because all the cameras are still going all the time, right, that you wind up getting more activity when or less activity when there are less people there?
Yeah, I found that we've gotten more activity when people are visiting nowadays because of the fact that we have COVID. So the fact that I don't have people visiting has left the spirits, as we say, a little bit south in the puts. They're not terribly happy about the fact that we don't have guests coming in to visit. I've noticed it.
Yeah,
I
understand
that.
That energy, right? They feed on that energy.
Exactly. It's part of their life, is enjoying other people that are visiting. People are like, oh, you're exploiting the spirits. Like, if I was exploiting the spirits, they wouldn't be active when company comes over. But because it's very active when people come over, I keep saying, tell it to the spirits. If they had a problem with it, don't you think they'd stop? I think they're wise enough and they're smart enough to know and saying, you know, it's enough is enough. We're done with this shit. We're out of here. That's not ever seemed to be the case. Spirits don't have a lot of problems with it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like I said,
Do you back up all of the cameras? I mean, are you constantly keeping all of that footage?
No. That would be impossible. I only keep stuff when there's something, when an incident takes place. Then it's like, okay. Let's go review the footage. Oh, well, tape that, you know, and I don't review it every day. I used to, the first 3 months that I had the equipment, I did it every single night. And after a while, I became so burnt out on it. I said, you know something, I haven't the bandwidth or the patience or the interest to sit here and stay until 4 or 5 in the morning reviewing all the footage. And doing it, I'm just not that diehard of a personality that wants to sit there and do that. I just don't have it, so I don't.
Yeah.
You know, if something happens, then it's like, okay, let's review this. If it did happen, let's catch it. Otherwise, no.
And I think you would go crazy staring at it all day long. You are amazing, my friend. We are completely out of time. Please let people know where they can find your book, and will you come back and we'll do this again? I would love it.
Yeah, I can't wait. We have to do it back here at the house like we did it the last time.
Yes, I'll be. Yes, you let me know when, and we'll get
it done.
Like,
hey, you're on the phone with Sheena. You got to have her come back to the house to do another show. It's like, oh, yeah, of course. You know it. I know you want her to visit.
And I want to hug dogs and cats while I'm there, too. Where can people find you, my friend?
They can find my book, Ghosts of Cielo Drive, at ghostsofcielodrive.com.
Wonderful. Go there and get this fantastic book. Everybody, my wonderful friend David Ullman, such a fantastic guest and a joy to have here on the show, and I can't wait to have him back. I am at SheenaMetalSpiritual.com, this show, HauntedPlayground.com, and, of course, we're on the Live Paranormal Radio Network at LiveParanormal.com. I'm back here, and here every Tuesday at 5 o'clock Pacific, doing Raising the Vibration show, and every Wednesday doing the Haunted Playground show at 6 o'clock Pacific. I do 3 live web series on Live Paranormal's video channel. I do I Am Raising Your Vibration Tuesday nights at 9. Tonight, Haunted Playground After Dark, the companion for this, 9 o'clock Pacific time. Fridays, the Soulmate Experience, 9 o'clock Pacific time. Free psychic readings on all of my 9 o'clock events. Check it out. If you want to book a private session with me, go to SheenaMetalSpiritual.com or you can text me 818-437-0886 and email me Sheena@IamRaisingYourVibration.com. I would love that. Until I see you next, seek peace, live in love, lead with kindness, embrace unity, and always raise your vibration. I'm Sheena Metal. I love you all. See you next time.